Turn to Mark chapter 6, if you would please. Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you beginning in verse number 34. And I believe that what we have here is a simple message. It's not a long message this evening. It's a simple message of service. And I want us just to see our responsibility from this passage. I even have a PowerPoint tonight that I want to use, and I've entitled it, "You Have a Responsibility." We're going to begin in verse 34. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past.'" Now, not desert in the sense of sandy and arid and no vegetation, but to desert is in the sense of there was vegetation, but there was nothing to eat. There were no trees. There was just an open expanse. In verse number 36, "Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, 'Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?' He saith unto them, 'How many loaves have ye? Go and see.' And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And he took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Our Father, we want to thank you for the truths of your word. May you open our eyes, Lord, to these simple truths. But Lord, may we also open our eyes to the responsibilities that we have to feed those around us. And Father, may we understand that you use physical examples to illustrate spiritual truths. And Father, may we also realize that the power of the feeding of the 5,000 did not lie in the hands of the 12 men that carried the baskets. It lied in the hands of the Savior. And so, Father, we pray that as we see these things this evening, that you will open our eyes to what you want to do through us. And may we be used by you to accomplish your will. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just a few simple truths from this passage that I want us to see this evening. I've entitled it at the top of the second slide, "Feeding the Hungry." You have a responsibility. The first truth that I want us to see is this. The crowd was hungry. They had been there all day, and physically they were hungry, but we're looking at a spiritual truth here in this, and I want to make simple application, and here it is. People in this world are hungry, are they not? People in this world are in need of Jesus Christ. And I am trusting this evening that you have Christ as your Savior, or else you wouldn't be out on a January Sunday night in the dark, coming together to worship with God's people and to look into His Word. And I have to say then that you have what they need, and they need what you have. I really appreciate the hymn choices this evening. I did not tell Brother Askins what I was preaching on, and he chose hymns that went along perfectly with what we're preaching this evening and what God has given for us in His Word. And I appreciate how the Holy Spirit puts all that together and orchestrates that and coordinates that. But I want you to know this evening that the knowledge that Jesus died for their sins and that without Him they are doomed to die and go to hell, people need to hear that. They need to hear it. As y'all travel from time to time in and out of the state of Illinois, as my wife and I just did this last week, we were down in Indiana while I taught down there for a week, and then we came back on Friday night in order to beat the storm. But as y'all travel, you know those signs that hang up over the interstate, and sometimes they'll put things up there like 288 people have died of traffic deaths so far this year. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You all seen those? We understand that those people didn't plan to die, did they? They were traveling somewhere. They had a destination in mind, but before they were able to get to where they thought they were going, they were in eternity. Whether they heard the gospel or not, we don't know. But they needed to hear the gospel, and they have, or excuse me, you have what they need. People are hungry. Go with me to Proverbs 19, and we'll come back here in a moment. But I want us to see a verse of Scripture in Proverbs 19 that just kind of complicates things a little bit. And I know that it does. And I want us to look at it and just recognize the fact that some people are harder to lead to the Lord than others for various reasons. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse number 3. It says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way." Let's stop right there for just a moment. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. Due to man's foolish behavior, man's way gets perverted. And that word perverted simply means that it doesn't go in the direction that it was supposed to. To pervert anything means to use it in a way that it was not intended to be used. We often put that in the realm of sexual perversion, when a person uses their body in a manner that God did not design it to be used. We consider that perversion. But that idea of perversion carries across many areas. Things can be perverted that are used in ways that they were not meant to be used. And what this verse is telling us is that man in his foolishness will literally pervert his way. He will detour himself from what God has for him. He will run away from God rather than running to God. Men love darkness rather than light, and therefore their deeds are evil. And because of their love of darkness, their deeds are evil. But the second half of this verse gives us a little more insight into that. "And his heart fretteth against the Lord." Now, this is an interesting verse of Scripture, because what this verse is telling us is that by a man's own foolishness, his way becomes perverted, and that means it's rough. His way has trouble. And then what does he do? He turns to God and he says, "God, this is your fault." His heart fretteth against the Lord. "God, look at the mess I'm in. God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't do this." Or, "If God really is a loving God, how can he allow all the sin that goes on in the world? How can he allow innocent people to be hurt?" And all kinds of questions that confuse the issues. I understand that, and they're there, and people mess up their lives, and they have hardships in their lives, and they turn to God, and they blame God, and they fret against the Lord, and it does confuse things, but that doesn't take away their hunger. And people are hungry. And you still have what they need, even though they may not know it. And let me say this. If you are trying to witness for the Lord, you may not know all the answers to all the questions that they come up with. You may not know all the answers. You don't have to know all the answers. You can seek help if those answers really have to be answered. But the bottom line is, whether you know all the answers to all of the questions that they may come up with that they think are standing in the way or that are obstacles, the fact is you still have what they need, and they still need to hear the gospel. Go with me to John chapter 6. We'll get back to Mark 6 in just a moment. But in John chapter 6, I like the way that John records this situation. He again is talking about the feeding of the 5,000, and I want to begin reading in John 6 verse number 5, because I want you to notice what he says about Andrew. Mark chooses not to name Andrew, but John does. And maybe you are like Andrew in this passage. In John 6 and verse number 5, it says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And then you have the rest of the story, how Jesus fed them. But I want you to notice what Andrew says in verse number 9. Andrew is the one that volunteers here the fact that there are 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And I can almost sense in Andrew a desire to exercise faith, but just hesitating. I can see Andrew coming to Jesus, and Jesus is saying, how are we going to feed them? And Philip says, 200 pennyworth wouldn't be enough to give them all just a little bit. And then you can see Andrew coming up and saying, Lord, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And you can see him almost exercising faith, knowing that Jesus can take that food and can divide it and can perform a miracle. He's already seen Jesus perform miracles. And so he presents it, and then he realizes when he's halfway through what he said, and he says, but, you know, what's that among so many? And you can see him wanting to exercise faith. And maybe you're here this evening, and maybe you feel like Andrew. Maybe you feel like, Lord, I can almost do this, but not quite. Maybe that's you. Maybe you want to have faith, but you're just not quite sure. Well, let me remind you that the power doesn't lie in you. The power lies in Jesus Christ. And you can see Andrew knew that God could do it if he would just surrender. And I believe some of us have the same situation. If we would just step out and allow God to use us, He will. I want you to look down at Mark 6, verse 39. Mark 6 and verse number 39. It says, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Well, as we read in John chapter 6, we have the same command. He tells the disciples, you sit the people down by 50s and by hundreds. In other words, they had to do the work of organization. Now, it was the disciples that had to do this. The disciples are the ones that told them to sit by 50s and by hundreds. Jesus didn't go around saying, you do this and you do that and tell the people. Jesus didn't say here, you organize them and have them sit a certain way, or he didn't tell the people that. He told the disciples that. He said, men, organize them, and this is how you're going to do it. Sometimes it takes preparation for an individual to receive the gospel. Sometimes it takes us being organized and us taking it one step at a time. There had to be preparation before the people could be fed, and sometimes the people have to be prepared as we go step by step. Sometimes we plant, sometimes we water, and sometimes we have the increase. Just to give you an illustration, there was a man, and I've given this illustration in this church before. There was a man that I was witnessing to back in Indiana before we moved here. His name was Steve Bain, and I came across Steve while we were out knocking on doors, and I met him. I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. He sat and listened to the gospel completely all the way through, and as I'm going through the gospel, I'm thinking, this man's going to get saved. He's going to get saved. He's listening. He's agreeing. He sees it. He needs it. And when I get all the way to the end, I said, Steve, are you ready to bow your head and accept Christ as your Savior? He said, no, I'm not ready yet. Boy, was I disappointed. And I said, all right, I'm going to be praying for you, Steve. And I would check on Steve. I invited him to church. I'd go by his house from time to time and say, Steve, are you ready to accept Christ? No, I'm not quite ready. But I'm thinking about it. Just give me some time. Would you believe after we moved to Illinois, somebody else had the privilege of leading Steve to the Lord? And he got saved, and he ended up going to church, getting baptized, joining the church. I had the privilege of sowing the seed. I even had the privilege of watering. But somebody else had the privilege of reaping. And you never know when you hand someone a gospel tract or you talk to someone about your testimony. And if nothing else, you can share with somebody your testimony. Even if you don't know how to pick up the Bible and show a person how to be saved. And if that's you, take a gospel tract with you. And read it and understand it and get that the organization in your mind. Take the bulletin that we give every Sunday. And there's a reason that on the back of the bulletin, we put this part back here that says the purpose of Jesus is coming. Right there's the gospel in simple form. take that and memorize that, or take that with you and be able to share it with people. But if nothing else, just share your testimony, and you do not know what that will do in that person's life. I want to share another testimony with you. This one's not mine to share. This one is Tony's. When we were down in Indiana this week teaching the class, Brother Tony Oraham came down and took the class. And I think it was his first college class. Is that right, Tony? Yeah, he was like a sponge soaking it in. Or maybe I should say he was like a deer in the headlights. Y'all know what I mean by that? Wednesday night, we went to the church that my wife and I were a part of before we came here, Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle. And after church that night, there was, a man came to church that night for the first time. This man's name was Brandon. And Brandon had talked to a few folks after church, and he knew a few people around there because they had been reaching out to him. And as Brandon talked to one person after another after church, he was open to talk, and he finally ended up talking to Tony. Would you believe this is a church where Tony is a visitor? The church all clears out, and I think he's the last one out the door. So he just loves to talk. Maybe you weren't the last one out the door, but it was close. Tony got to talk to Brandon, and he asked him, "What's keeping you from accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior?" Brandon gave him an answer, and Tony said, "Then you're not exercising faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, because He can save you." And that man got saved Wednesday night. Now, here's the rest of the story. There was a lady who was saved as a child. Her name was Christy. Christy got away from the Lord and ended up living in sin. She had a child by this man, Brandon. She moved from Brandon, went on and had another boyfriend. And this boyfriend ended up doing some pretty bad stuff and ended up in jail. When that man went to jail, that man got saved. And then he began to talk to Christy. And because of that man talking to Christy, she ended up showing up in church. When she ended up showing up in church, she got her heart right with the Lord. When she got her heart right with the Lord, she talked to the father of her first child, Brandon, and said, "Brandon, you need to go check out this church." And Brandon came to church Wednesday night. And Brandon got saved. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who contributed to Brandon's salvation? All of them. Every one of them. Now, I don't know about you, but that is challenging to me. Because that makes me ask this question: who have I invested in this week and contributed to their potential salvation down the road? See, there are people that you all know that I will never meet. And there are individuals that all of us know in this room that we are the only ones in here that will have contact with them, or maybe the only one. There may be a few others, but there are people that you will be able to minister to in a way that nobody else will be able to minister to. And they're hungry, and they need to be fed. And sometimes it takes a step-by-step process. Sometimes you just need to take the step of inviting them to church. Sometimes you need to take the step of saying, "Hey, can I give you a piece of gospel literature? Can I give you this pamphlet that our church puts out? Hey, can I talk to you about your eternal soul sometime?" And we may just need to take it step by step. But sometimes it takes organization, and it takes a building process. And that's the point I want to make by this. And I want you to know that that organization was led by Jesus Christ, but administered by the disciples. And so as the Holy Spirit leads us to minister to people, pray that He will lead you into whichever step it is that He needs to lead you into. But make sure that you take that step. Well, look at verse number 41 in this passage. Verse number 41 says this: "And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all." Let me ask this question: who distributed the food to the people? This is not a trick question. The disciples. Who gave the food to the disciples? Jesus Christ did. My next point is this. Jesus gave the food to the disciples and they gave it to the people. You've been given the gospel. You've been given the information that you need. Your soul is saved. You're on your way to heaven. Praise God for it. But now it's time for you to share. It's your responsibility to take it to the world that is in need. Now, we do that in different ways. We support our missionaries here that take the gospel out around the world and share the gospel. And every soul that gets saved on those mission fields, we have a part of as a church. And if you give to missions, you have a part of that, and praise God for it. But we also have a responsibility right here in our area, right? We have a responsibility. You do not know what the future holds. You do not know who you will meet and who God will bring into your life, but you do know this, that you have the message that will change a life for eternity. I want you to think about this for a moment. What would have happened if one disciple had refused to do his part? Part of that 5,000 wouldn't have got fed, right? What if he had said, Jesus, you don't understand. I can't multiply those loaves and those fishes. It may work for the other guys, but it won't work for me. And the answer to that is this. The power was not in the disciple. The power was in the Lord. And you are not responsible for bringing a person to Christ through your own power and your own abilities. Now, we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and we use wisdom and discretion, and we pray for the discernment of the Holy Spirit in His direction, but it is the power of the gospel that brings a person to Christ, and what you need to do is present it. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The power lies within the gospel, and you have a responsibility to distribute it. God didn't send angels to preach the gospel. He gave you and me the responsibility of preaching the gospel, and the reason He gave it to you and me is because we're the recipients of it, and we are the ones that have been blessed by it, and praise God for that. Therefore, we should feel the responsibility and the burden to share it with others. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes were completely given to Jesus. There was nothing held back. And once they were completely surrendered, that boy gave up his lunch. That young man gave up his lunch, and when he gave it to Jesus, he didn't know whether he was getting any back or not. It was a complete sacrifice. It was a matter of saying, Jesus, if you're hungry, you can have it. And once that lunch was completely surrendered, by the time it was done, there were 12 baskets full. Now, this is just a side note. This is not something that I can prove from Scripture. We don't know where that 12 baskets full of food went to, but I just get this feeling that Jesus Christ gave them to the boy and He took them home with Him. Can you imagine the look on that mother's face? Son, I packed your lunch this morning. What is this? Mom, this is my lunch. Jesus got a hold of it. I just wonder if God didn't send one basket with each disciple. Say, okay, guys, follow that boy home and take those fishes and loaves to his house. That part I'm making up, I don't know. I just can't help but wonder about these things. But here's my point. Once it was completely surrendered, Jesus Christ did something with it that no other person could do. And once we are completely surrendered to Him, He can take us and do things with us that we could never do on our own. These 5 loaves and these 2 fishes fed 5,000 people. But, that's 5,000 men plus the women and children that are not numbered in this story. But only after they were in God's hands. And when the disciples did their part, the people were fed and there was plenty left over. You know, Jesus didn't step out to feed a soul. He gave that job to the disciples and they obeyed and many were fed. Would you bow your head with me this evening?